Cairo Radio was paid a fee to air the following program. All information discussed on the following program is for general information purposes only and does not constitute legal advice or create an attorney-client relationship. Prior to acting on any legal matter, you should seek legal advice from a qualified legal attorney who can evaluate your situation and advise you accordingly.
Welcome to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH. Your Partner in Law is brought to you in part by the law firm Gregorick & Associates, PLLC. Charting your course to a secure future, Your Partner in Law starts now. Here's your host, Rick Gregorick.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Law. I'm attorney Rick Gregorick and I am live and alive in the studio this morning. And we're going to be joined in a little bit by attorney Scott Ralston. And on this eve of Christmas Eve, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, maybe some of the things you might want to think about as you're going to visit your family. It's not unusual during this time of year for families to get together. Many times that's at the seniors' home. Mom and dad oftentimes are hosting, or perhaps grandma and grandpa are hosting in that. And I really wanted to talk today a little bit about awareness, because I think as we go through these holiday seasons and we are visiting with our silver-haired friends, and that of which I certainly am one, we should maybe be a little more acute and taking notice of what's really going on. So my question is, how are the elders in your life? How are they doing this holiday season? And let's take a little bit of an introspective on that. And, you know, we call this the silver tsunami, the aging of the baby boomers, 10,000 a day. My goodness, it's a huge issue for all of us, regardless of your age. So you younger folks out there, this is having a significant impact on you, as well as on the in-betweeners and oftentimes on our seniors. So the silver tsunami, as we call it, really brings about a number of challenges for our seniors and their families. And most of you will be facing some sort of issue as you age, whether it be Alzheimer's, a stroke, Parkinson's, just the impact of aging itself as we tend to slow down, arthritis, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis. Boy, oh boy, there's just no shortage of things to challenge us as we go through life and as we enter into these final stage of our life in the silver years, as we call it. And there's just too many people that are totally unaware, or perhaps aware but not willing to recognize the potential problems, and most importantly, recognizing that there are solutions to help. Now, when we talk about these solutions, that's part of the solutions you're going to work out with your doctor. And you're going to talk about your health care and your medications and your diet and your exercise. Those are all things that are within your purview to do. Now, on the other side, though, you need to be taking care of your finances, your health care decision making. What if you become incapacitated? Do you have the right legal documents in place to carry out management of your affairs, both financial and medical, according to the way you want it to be done, overseen by the person or persons you want to oversee it in the manner in which you want them to oversee it? What types of care are acceptable to you? Folks, we need to get this on paper. You need to get this on paper. And we want to make sure that all of these things are taken care of. So estate and elder planning are really the keys to managing the aging process. Let me say that again. Your estate and elder planning are the keys for managing the aging process and its impact on yourself, your family, your housing, your financial and medical management. We really need to look at all of these things. And in this Christmas spirit also, and in this holiday season, as we're seeing our loved ones and we're looking at our families and we're going over there, I want you to have an awareness of the impact of elder abuse, which comes in many, many forms. I've been reporting on this for years. I was going back and looking at some of the news articles and things that I've published in the past. And I went back as far as 2011 to look at articles and things of that nature that we've been working on. And, you know, it's sad to say that despite, you know, I think an increasing amount of education and an increasing amount of awareness, we still aren't moving the needle on getting enough of you planning. The statistics are still rather dismal. Approximately 30 to 35% might of you, 30 to 35% of you might have an estate plan. Of those that you do, less than a quarter of you have an estate plan that is current and up to date. The rest of you, 65, 70% of you, have absolutely nothing put in place or have done things within your estate, such as inappropriate gifting or things of that nature, which we're going to talk a little bit about during the show, that you have actually not positioned yourself properly. In fact, you probably have put harm in your way in dealing with a lot of these issues that deal with aging and elder abuse, and especially financial abuse. We've talked about this many, many times on the air, that financial abuse and most other forms of abuse do occur at the hands of close family members. This is disturbing, folks. So, you know, this is why we want to have these meetings. We want to talk to the seniors. We want to more often than not bring in family members when we're dealing with seniors, that especially if they've had some level of diminished capacity. They're not incapacitated, so to speak, but they have definitely not as sharp as they used to be, and that becomes self-evident to yourself and the, you know, those dealing with the senior, but also to the senior themselves sometimes. Hey, we got Scott Ralston on the line and calling in from afar. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Rick. I am doing great. I'm here in the equally sunny city of Portland this morning.
Equally sunny, we say, huh?
Yeah.
Not much, right? Well, it's Seattle, man. It's the short days. You know, we just came off the longest day of the year, so they're getting technically a little bit shorter, but we're in that zone of time where there's a lot of darkness. You know, it doesn't get light very early in the morning, and it's dark right in the afternoon. And so it's an interesting time. Portland's just a little bit different than us being a little bit south of there. But so it's raining and windy down there as well, huh?
Absolutely. So. A perfect holiday weather for today.
Well, Scott, and, you know, today we really have been, you know, want to talk about the aging process and the impact that it has and really how are the elders, you know, faring in our lives this season, because so many families are going to be out visiting parents and grandparents and maybe great-grandparents. And I think it's a great opportunity for them to, you know, kind of take an opportunity, maybe not at the holiday dinner, but perhaps, you know, before or after, something along those lines, maybe to start some dialogue with mom and dad, seniors.
It's a really good time to assess and, you know, when you're with your loved ones and with your family members, just kind of observe and assess kind of what is going on with them and maybe ask a few questions and engage in some conversations, light conversations, just to kind of try and find out what's going on. You know, a lot of people, we talk a lot with our loved ones by phone throughout the year, and we can kind of tell maybe the memory's going a little bit. Maybe they're not, you know, just as sharp as they used to be. But when you get together with them for the holidays, it's really a good time to observe them firsthand and, you know, just kind of try and have some of these conversations. Although, you know, you don't want to get too far into it, obviously. It's really not the best time of year to necessarily do that, but it is a good opportunity for you to assess your loved ones.
Yeah, it really is. It's not that we want to ruin the holidays with this kind of stuff, but sadly many holidays are ruined because people haven't planned and they're in the emergency room. But, and then they're wondering what's next.
We've seen that.
We see that all the time, and we will see it again this year as well. The key thing is, you know, when you go to the seniors' home, be observant, open your eyes, say, you know, for the last few years, you know, or historically, the houses look like this. Now you walk in this year and it doesn't look quite the same. Maybe things are in a little more disarray. Maybe mom, who was the world's greatest housekeeper and cleaner in the world, all of a sudden the house isn't quite as clean or neat or orderly. These are just telltale signs or potential symptoms. And, you know, Scott, we see this when we get into guardianship.
Papers.
Yeah, when we get into guardianship issues, yes, you know, all the mail piled up on the kitchen table and things
exactly.
like that. But when you get into guardianships, Scott, these are the types of issues that a guardian ad litem is going to go out to the home and look. They're going to do an assessment. Kind of from a guardian ad litem's perspective, since you work with these folks hand in hand in so many guardianships that we do, what is that guardian ad litem looking for when they go to the home?
Well, when they start the case, they're looking for a couple of different things. They're first of all looking to see if somebody actually has some form of planning in place. That's one of the first things that they take a look at. And that's called the less restrictive measure, because the guardian ad litem and the courts, they really don't want to interfere with people's lives. They really want that, to the extent that they do have estate planning in place, to work. Now, if they don't have something that's in place at all, or they have something in place that's just not functioning, what they're going to do is they're going to, you know, assess the individual based upon the environment that they see. They're going to interview family members and ask family members, what are you experiencing? What are you observing? And they're going to interview the individual themselves. They're going to go to their home. Very oftentimes, they show up unannounced at the home in order to, you know, really get a good idea of what is going on in the home, because they want to see not only how that individual is doing themselves, but also how the people that are taking care of them are taking care of them as well.
So hey, Scott, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to follow up because this is a great conversation, and it's really important. Folks, if you'd like to join in on the eve of Christmas Eve, give us a call, and the phone lines are open at 1-888-973-5476, 888-973-5476. Maybe you just have a Christmas wish to shout out. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Retirement. What does it mean to you? Has it changed as a result of today's economy? Are you worried about your future? Could there be stormy seas ahead?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, founder of Gregrick & Associates. We're a dedicated team of legal and tax professionals that can help you navigate your course for a secure future. Whether you're just thinking about your retirement or you're well into your retirement years, whether you're single, married, or involved in a domestic partnership, we can help you create your necessary legal and tax planning.
I am so glad I found one firm that can help me with all my legal and tax needs.
Call today for your free consultation. 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450.
You can also sign up for a Partner in Law event. Just go to yourpartnerinlaw.com and find the Elder Law or Estate Planning course that's best for you. You can register for both events by going to yourpartnerinlaw.com. yourpartnerinlaw.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. That's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do, to find out about all the different plans they offer, like the plan we got that'll pay my estate back if we never use it. Brian does have a few classes coming up in January. Seating will be limited, so reserve your spot right now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregrick, host of Your Partner in Law. You're listening to it right now. And Rick, after attending a few of your events, while I was just so impressed with how much I learned and the detail and the importance of all the information that you provide.
Well, you know, John, thank you very much for that. You know exactly why we do this. We've talked a lot about it. My own personal experiences really put me into this business. And what I've learned over the years is through proper education, developing
crafting the proper life plan for you is absolutely crucial, regardless of your wealth or lack thereof. You need to have a life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your assets in the event of your disability or following your death.
You absolutely do, Rick. And hey, if you're interested in attending one of Rick's events, go to yourpartnerinlaw.com or just schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick, and he'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorek on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
All righty, little holiday cheer to get you up and at 'em, get the coffee in you, the lattes and mochas and all the other fun stuff we do up here in the Pacific Northwest. So today we're, you know, it's the holidays and, you know, I don't want to be a bummer and all those types of things. In fact, I really want to make this a good positive experience for you because we notice so oftentimes during the holidays there, well, there's a lot of issues that can kind of come up and emotions are running high and, you know, for our seniors, this brings on many different ailments as far as strokes and heart attacks and different stress-related issues. So we want to really be aware of that. And we were talking a little bit right before break on what does a guardian ad litem look for when they go out to assess a senior in an elder case to determine their capacity and what type of care they're needing. And so we've got Attorney Scott Ralston kind of walking us through that. Scott's done lots of guardianships over the years and has a great handle on kind of how they, you know, transpire. And we really want to, you know, make sure you kind of understand this because, you know, many of you, if not most of you, are potentially, you know, going to be needing some sort of care as you go forward. And your choice is, do I want to do it privately the way I've planned it? Or do I want to do it the way the government's planned it and become a ward of the state? That's your two choices, folks. There's no other options. It's one or the other if something happens to you. So before we get back to Scott, though, I do want to mention Retire Meet 2019. This is amazing, Retire Meet. This is its fifth annual. It is a signature event in the Pacific Northwest in the estate and financial planning area. It's put on by our great colleagues over at Vestry Financial, Tom Koch and Don McDonald. I think all of you know these guys, Talking Real Money. Don's a, you know, author and syndicated radio columnist on financial stuff. And Tom, you know, he's a college professor, he's a fiduciary financial manager, and just doing a great job of helping educate retirees. Now, Retire Meet, folks, is a, you know, it's basically all day Saturday, starts at 8 in the morning, goes to 3 in the afternoon, you're going to get fed, don't worry about that, promise you won't go hungry. But it's a jam-packed day of things you need to know about estate planning, elder planning, and all of the things that evolve around that, your money management, your Social Security, oh boy, all these different types of things. And how do you put it all together and figure out how that's going to work? So we've got, you know, Tom and Don are going to talk about the science of retirement investing and, you know, folks, you know, scams. Boy, we got to watch these. Herb Weisbaum's going to be there. Anyhow, go to retiremeet.com. Get signed up on the early birds. This event sells out. And when it's sold out, it's sold out. Get your tickets now. Love to see you there. Just all kinds of things. Dr. Laurel Breeden's going to be there talking about understanding Social Security. Oh, my. Lots of great stuff. So anyhow, sign up for that. So, Scott. We're back to the guardianship, and the guardian ad litem is going out there, and they're going to assess the home, the person, the people around it. How does that all evolve?
Yeah, so typically this will evolve when, you know, somebody becomes concerned, and they'll file a petition, and they'll file a petition with the court in the county where the individual resides, and then the court will appoint the guardian ad litem. The guardian ad litem will then conduct their investigation. And when they go to the house, they are typically looking for things like, is the house clean? Is the individual clean? What is the organization of the house? And then they'll also have discussions with the individual, and they'll be looking to see, okay, do they know their financial affairs? Do they know their medical affairs? Do they know who the people are that are in their life that are helping them? Do they know who their children are? Do they know who their spouse is, their other significant loved ones? And they'll be asking them questions. And what they're looking for is, do they have the ability to manage their own financial affairs? Do they have the ability to manage their own medical affairs? Are they safe? Are they capable of making testamentary decisions in order to have in place a less restrictive plan? So those are the types of things that they are looking for.
Now, Scott, you mentioned a legal term there, and I want people to understand what that legal term is, because this is one of the challenges when we talk about the law. We talk about words, and sometimes as lawyers, we just throw words out there because we understand them.
Testamentary capacity.
See, you knew where I was going with this. Testamentary capacity. What the heck is that, and why is that different than just capacity?
Well, testamentary capacity, we have different capacities in the law, okay? We have, criminal capacities, whether you have, a particular mental state to have committed a crime. We have the capacity to enter into contracts. And then we have the capacity to form a will, to form a power of attorney. And so you have to have that, a level of capacity in order to be able to put together a power of attorney or put together a will.
So I think that's worth kind of pausing on just a little bit to say, folks, the capacity that's necessary to do your estate planning is its own set of criteria as to what that capacity is. And that capacity is less than you would require to enter into a contract, like, say, to buy a house, sell a car, those types of things, to enter into a business. You may well not be able to manage your day-to-day financial affairs, but yet have testamentary capacity. And, Scott, is that not one of the greatest challenges we have for understanding?
It is, because capacity is determined, at several different stages, potentially, in this whole estate planning process.
And that's a great place to take a little segue break on the teaser, and let's go over those items as soon as we get back from this quick crass commercial break. So Scott, we'll be right back with you. And folks, 888-973-5476, that'll get you right on air with your questions, comments, concerns. Maybe you have a request for a Christmas song. We'll see what we can do for you. So anyhow, give us a call, 888-973-5476. Your partner-in-law will be right back.
Hey, it's John Curley, and I'm here with Rick Gregorick. Rick, after attending a few of your events, one of the things that really stood out to me is how proper planning can really give you and your family and loved ones peace of mind.
It really does, John. At Gregorick & Associates, we are a planning firm, and my personal life experiences are what led me into estate and elder law planning. I've learned that through education, individuals and families can significantly reduce their risk and anxieties. We all face the likelihood of disability during our lives. A proper legal life plan can give you control of your care and the management of your financial affairs, and most of all, peace of mind.
Absolutely. The peace of mind, knowing that everything has been taken care of, is just so important. Schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick. He'll take the time to go through everything with you and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
This is Michael Medved. Financial experts will tell you that you should have a plan in place for the high cost of long-term care. If your plan consists of using your savings to pay for any long-term care needs in the future, then take a moment to contact 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. They will show you how to set up an asset-based plan using a portion of your existing savings. Now, this way you maintain control of your money and you're guaranteed to get your money back even if you don't need long-term care. For every dollar you put in today, 525 Advisors will show you how to get $3 to $4 back in tax-free long-term care protection. Call 525 Advisors today to learn how you can put a portion of your savings to work and protect your family and the rest of your assets from the high costs of long-term care. Call today at 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188 and 525longtermcare.com. That's 525-longtermcare.com. care.com.
Have you ever wondered what would happen to you or your loved ones or your business if you were incapacitated tomorrow or if you died prematurely? None of us plan on it, but not addressing these issues can be catastrophic to your finances, your family, and your business. Hi, this is attorney Rick Gregrick, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio every Sunday morning at 8. Elder or estate planning is necessary for all of us, regardless of our wealth or lack of wealth. So whether your estate is large or small, you simply must have a proper legal life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your business. For your free estate or elder law planning consultation, give us a call today at 425-284-3450. At Gregrick & Associates, my staff and I will take the time necessary to understand your needs and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Call us today at 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450, or go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
We return to Your Partner in Law on Seattle's Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH with your host, Rick Gregrick.
Yeah, it might be nice to sit there and just listen to a little music this morning, but we've got time for that after the show's over, so hopefully you'll be doing that as well. Welcome back to Your Partner in Law, folks. We're talking with Scott Ralston. We're really talking about kind of at the end of the year and families are getting together and maybe creating a little awareness on our elder situation. You know, we're dealing with the silver tsunami, as we call it. And as we go to our folks' house or our grandparents' house, we want to notice what's going on and physically, mentally, and all these different things, because we were talking before the break about what happens in a guardianship case. It's a state action. The court is going to appoint what we call a guardian ad litem to do some field investigation, and they're going to go out to the house and interview the alleged incapacitated person and others. And then Scott was explaining some of the other things and the backdrops that they do. Scott does lots of different types of guardianships. So we want to get back with that discussion here real quick. But before we do, retiremeet.com, please get out and sign up for that. It's got answers to almost all the questions you're going to have. February 16th, Maidenbauer, all-day event. Don't miss it. It's the signature event of the year. Get your year kicked off right. Get your planning started. Get your planning updated. Get it done. Hey, Scott, so we're back to the guardian ad litem, and they're at the house, and they're interviewing the senior, and we talked a little bit about testamentary capacity versus regular capacity. Take it up from there.
Yeah, so when they're looking, and of course, just so we're clear, the guardian itself does not make the capacity determination. Okay, what the guardian does is they prepare a report.
The guardian ad litem.
The guardian ad litem prepares a report, and they submit that report to the court. And ultimately, depending on where the case goes, it is the court that ultimately decides whether an individual has or does not have capacity. It is a legal decision. It is not a medical decision. It's not a decision that is made by the guardian ad litem. It's a decision that's ultimately made after the court takes into consideration the testimony of the parties and takes into consideration the guardian ad litem's report and also the medical report of the alleged incapacitated person's treating physician as well. And that individual prepares a report as well. And all of these facts, this is the evidence in the case, comes into court, and the court ultimately makes a decision as to whether somebody has capacity. In the context of a guardianship, there's more than just, you know, the ability to necessarily make a decision, because there are some other factors that are taken into consideration in a guardianship, such as, are they potentially a harm to themselves? Are they at financial risk? Is another factor that the court takes into consideration.
So there's a lot of things going on, folks, and we want to make sure that you're prepared. That's really what it's all about, being prepared. So this holiday season, we were asking the question, how are the elders in your life this holiday season? And are you being aware, looking for changes in circumstances? Gee, Dad just doesn't seem like he was before. You know, something's happening. These are just bellwethers, alarms, issues for concerns. Folks, we're going to take a quick break and then a little more Christmas music and then more of Your Partner in Law. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. My father always used to say to me the three worst words in the English language, and I used to say it right along with him, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And the reason these are the most regrettable words is because you had some knowledge that you should have done something, but you didn't. You could have, but you didn't. And you would have, but you put it off. And that's where you find yourself. So many people with retirement right around the corner or in the middle of retirement have the shoulda, coulda, wouldas come flying up right in their face because they were not proactive. They didn't take care of the will. They didn't take care of a trust. They didn't do what they needed to do about real estate and taxes. So right now, let's avoid the shoulda, coulda, wouldas and call Rick Gregorick. Rick Gregorick is my estate planner. You can hear him on Cairo Radio on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. The guy is an expert in the complicated field of what you need to do to prepare for retirement. You can schedule a complimentary consultation with Rick Gregorick, and let me tell you, it is complete. No shoulda, coulda, wouldas here. Rick Gregorick at yourpartnerinlaw.com, yourpartnerinlaw.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. That's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do, to find out about all the different plans they offer, like the plan we got that'll pay my estate back if we never use it. Brian does have a few classes coming up in January. Seating will be limited, so reserve your spot right now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com.
Have you ever wondered what would happen to you or your loved ones or your business if you were incapacitated tomorrow or if you died prematurely? None of us plan on it, but not addressing these issues can be catastrophic to your finances, your family, and your business. Hi, this is attorney Rick Gregorick, host of Your Partner in Law, right here on Cairo Radio every Sunday morning at 8. Elder or estate planning is necessary for all of us, regardless of our wealth or lack of wealth. So whether your estate is large or small, you simply must have a proper legal life plan in place to protect you, your loved ones, and your business. For your free estate or elder law planning consultation, give us a call today at 425-284-3450. At Gregorick & Associates, my staff and I will take the time necessary to understand your needs and recommend the best plan for you and your family. Call us today at 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450, or go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com.
Now back to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorick on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.
And welcome back to Your Partner in Law. I'm attorney Rick Gregorick, and you can find us on the World Wide Web at rjglegal.com. That's Richard James Gregorick. RJG, my initials, how clever, rjglegal.com. That'll get you right to the law firm. And you can also go to yourpartnerinlaw.com. Please check out our blogs. There's all kinds of great information there. Check out our newsletters. There's 3 or 4 newsletters there to choose from. Choose one or all of them. I recommend you get them all. And be informed. Be smart. You can find our blogs on our website. You can find them on Twitter, just Twitter/RJGLegal.com. Get them all there. You can get an RSS feed. All kinds of great stuff to help you stay informed. That's yourpartnerinlaw.com. Check out our blogs. Check out our newsletters. And most of all, check us out. We'd love to do business with you. We'd love to help you and your family have a safe and secure future and have the comfort of knowing that you have your planning put in place that's going to protect you and your loved ones. Hey, folks, we're talking with Scott Ralston from the office. And, you know, Scott's our litigator. And as part of his litigation practice, he does a lot of guardianships. Now, guardianships come in many shapes and reasons, and they can come about as a result of your inability to efficiently or effectively manage your finances, or because your inability to manage and direct your medical care. And Scott, in the beginning, you were saying that if people have estate planning in place, the court should give deference to that. And I want to I want to readdress that area because I think that's critically important because of the state's recognition of our rights to do our own planning. Can you kind of amplify that a little bit?
Yeah, I can amplify that on several levels, actually. First of all, from a statutory standpoint, if you have planning documents in place...
Scott, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you have planning documents in place, when the guardianship is filed, it will be deemed valid. They are presumptively valid.
Hey, Scott, you know what? It's breaking up really kind of a lot. Not sure, maybe find a little better location or something here, but we'll see if we can muddle through until we get the connection fixed here a little bit. You know, technology, rain, wind, they all don't go together, so we'll have to figure out what's happening there. We got the engineers on the job here. See, planning. You got to be able to adapt to ever-changing environments and have the tools and the methods, processes, and procedures all in place and ready to go. So Scott was starting to talk about in a guardianship, there are many reasons that it can occur. It can be brought about many ways. But if you have planning put in place, trust, powers of attorney, healthcare directives. Not necessarily a will, folks. A will is not going to be determinative in a guardianship very often because a will only speaks when you die. So you have to have other documents to do that. We're going to go back and get Scott back on here, I think. You back?
All right. Hopefully.
Excellent. Look at that technology every time. Awesome, dude.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Thank you very much. I was stalling as best I could, so we're back to... looking at the guardianship and why it's so important to have your own documents in place.
So one of the reasons that it's so important to have the documents in place, I mean, and there are many, I don't even think we can begin to cover all of them.
Long list.
Basically, it's your choice, okay? So if you have the ability and you have the capacity to put estate planning documents in place, it's your choice who you choose to make your medical decisions, make your financial decisions. So you get to choose. And statutorily, those documents are presumptively valid. So if a guardian filed and you have already executed estate planning documents, those documents are presumptively valid. They can still be challenged, but they are still considered to be valid until the court determines otherwise. And what we mean by that is, let's say that you have powers of attorney and you give your authority to one child, and another of your children decides they don't think that you had capacity when you executed those documents. They could challenge your capacity through a guardianship and the validity of those documents via the guardianship.
And that's always an interesting point, Scott, that you appoint one child, but that doesn't mean the other child may not do something or challenge the planning. Now, Scott, when we're talking about powers of attorney, and I think that's a good place to maybe look at this because I think we might agree that powers of attorney are perhaps one of the most widely abused documents out there. Some of the abuses, you know, certainly malicious and on purpose, but lots of it's mistake and mistaken belief on folks. And then just the poor quality of documents. You mentioned that the court will give great deference to your planning documents. Well, that's it. I kind of always say the court will give great deference to them if you did. In other words, did you do a good job? If you just got some nonsense out there that people print off the internet, like, well, we had one not too terribly long ago, and I'm sure we're not unique, and I think you remember this. I'm not even sure if it was your case or Ted's, but the person presented a power of attorney, and it was, you know, they just printed it off the internet and had mom sign it, whether or not she had capacity or not didn't seem to be important at the time. And the power of attorney was one of these check the box kind of things. And it says, my agent shall have all the powers, you know, indicated by the boxes checked below. And of course, what was the issue? No,
well, this was in fact my case.
No. Okay. No boxes were checked. So there was no power of attorney. And so the person was operating under a mistaken belief that they were an agent when in fact they were not.
But you showed me one just in the last couple of weeks where it was about two sentences long and it wasn't durable.
Right.
Meaning
yeah.
that as soon as the individual became incapacitated, the power of attorney was no longer usable. Now, in most circumstances, people are executing powers of attorney so that people can assist them when they don't have capacity. So why would you execute a power of attorney of that nature when your intention is that it be one that survives your incapacity?
Yeah, it really does. That's so important.
We run into these things a lot of the time, and that's one of the reasons why, going back to what we were talking about earlier, if you're home for the holidays, you're sitting down and you're talking to your loved one and you think that, you know, they're starting to have some trouble, that doesn't mean that they don't have capacity. What they can do is work with an attorney that's their attorney, not your attorney, not the child's attorney, not the loved one's attorney. But what you can do as the loved one to help them is get them going in the right direction in sitting down and talking with an attorney so that they can make their own estate planning documents and put their own decision-making documents like powers of attorney in place.
You know,
that will help with avoiding the guardianship.
And we do want to avoid the guardianship, folks. You become a ward of the state and life will never be the same. You know, folks, the issues that we have to deal with as we all age, let's call them the elder issues or the results of the silver tsunami, and we've got to deal with Medicare. Some of us are going to have to deal with Medicaid. We have to deal with Social Security, both Social Security discipline as well as our regular Social Security. We have to talk about our housing. You know, because as we age, if we're no longer able to live in our own home and we have to go somewhere else, and if that somewhere else is an institution, whether it be a senior living facility or assisted living or adult family home, skilled nursing facility, any of these types of things, those are your homes, and they're very expensive, but your medical insurance doesn't pay for that. That's why we talk about long-term care insurance. We're talking about, you know, just what we're just talking about, your healthcare decisions and the decision making and who's going to make those. We've got to talk about your money, your finances, your bills, your taxes. And then all of this is done in the backdrop of your family situation, your family relationships. Who do you have available to do all this fun care stuff and what's going on? Do you have the right inventory of people? Now, Scott, one of the things I wanted to address today, because this is the giving season, of course, and we almost historically in January, we start seeing people come parading into the office. And as a result of gifting that has been done over the holidays by grandma or, you know, some of the seniors, and we see some inappropriate gifting. And, you know, sometimes grandma's getting up in age and her money's getting a little down. And she sits there and says, I've always wanted to help out the grandkids. And so grandma's down to, you know, her last $100,000. She has four grandkids and she writes them all a check for $5,000 apiece. And mom and dad are all excited and thank grandma and everything and give the kids the $5,000. And now grandma, you know, a year later has to apply for Medicaid because she's run out of money, her cost of care. And she's going to find out what, Scott, what's going to happen because she made that gift out of her heart.
Well, everybody is going to find out that Medicaid has a 60-month look-back. And what Medicaid is looking for is exactly this. They are looking for gifting. They are looking for people essentially intentionally impoverishing themselves so that they can sooner qualify for Medicaid than they would had they not gifted assets away.
And Scott, I think it's important that the person doesn't have to have that intent, so to speak. It's just the mere fact that they gifted. It's the mere fact they gave assets away, whether it be cash or, heaven forbid, the house, the most common thing that is improperly gifted.
Yeah, that's the most common one, and also the most costly one.
Oh, boy, it's very costly for both the receiver of the gift and the person making the gift. So it's really, really tough. I wanted to really underscore that, and so please go on.
Well, and what the Medicaid look-back does, so they look back 60 months, and then they figure out, okay, what constitutes gifts, and they come up with a number. And that number could be, you know, a few thousand dollars, or it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they take that number and they divide it by a cost factor for what it costs to take care of the individual on a monthly basis in an assisted living or nursing home type of facility. And that is what they call the penalty period. And there is no Medicaid coverage for that. Or if Medicaid covers it, what they do is they go back to those recipients of those assets, and they go after those individuals for the money that was gifted to them. And there is a 150% penalty, I believe, as well, on top of just the amount that they are seeking to recover.
As well as attorney fees and cost. So let me reiterate that, folks. So grandma or mom or dad or someone like that decides that I don't want the government to get my house. This is what we always hear. The government doesn't get your house, but that isn't here. We hear this every week, just about throughout the entire year. We're going to hear it lots now through the holidays and after the first of the year. But gifting your home away more often than not is a huge mistake. We talk about this penalty transfer period. You know, in King, Snohomish, Pierce County, we'll round it off and say it's between $8,000 and $9,000 a month that you would be penalized. So in other words, if you gave away a house that was worth $500,000, you would divide $500,000 by 8, and you would come up with the number of months of ineligibility, which, as we can see, would actually be turning into years of ineligibility. Well, as Scott was saying, if mom still needs the care, she doesn't have any money, she gifted her home away improperly, and therefore has incurred this penalty period. Well, if the state has to put her on what's called emergency Medicaid, they will do so. However, now the nightmare begins, because the recipients of those gifts have to either give it back or pay for mom's care or face lawsuit from the state, and as Scott said, up to 150% of the value of the gift plus attorney fees and costs. This can be, well, this just isn't where we, this wasn't the idea that mom or grandma had for the gift. They didn't want to make this mess. I know that. But it does make that mess. And Scott, unwinding these is a disaster sometimes, very difficult.
Well, it is. And you know, oftentimes if it's just money, you know, the money's not there. So the recipient is looking at a potential judgment that it could take them years and years to pay off.
They could have their wages garnished. They could have assets levied and liened. Please, you know, folks, as we're getting up in age, the category or the topic of gifting. If you're not a multi-millionaire, this is it. You should not be doing any gifting as you get elderly unless you've talked with your attorney. Only your attorney, your elder law, your estate planning attorney, should be giving you advice as to whether or not you should be making gifting. But if you should be making gifting, then you want your attorney to help guide you in how to make that gift. There's lots of ways to make gifts. Different ways have different outcomes, different results. So we want to be smart about that. If we are going to be making a gift, then we want to make sure that it is going to stick and that that gift doesn't put the people receiving the gift in harm's way. Nobody wants that. So it is really important. I think I thank you for bringing that up, Scott, because that's just such a important factor that I hear it all the time about. We don't want the government to get the house, or mom doesn't want to get the house. Folks, the government does not take your house. If you have a home and you otherwise qualify for Medicaid, your house will generally be treated as an exempt asset and you can qualify and get your aid. That's wonderful. Now, when you die, if you still own the house at the time of death, it would be subject to a Medicaid recovery lien. But you're only paying back the state for Medicaid costs, which would have cost the estate far more had the state required mom or grandma to sell the house, spend that down, and then go on Medicaid. So it is a win-win
right.
situation, but it doesn't always feel that way because of the extremely high cost of long-term care, whether it's being paid for by Medicaid or private pay. Either way, it's very, very expensive. Scott, we're winding up on the hour. Any final words of encouragement for folks, or you know, what should they be doing right now?
Well, you know, we always say plan early, plan often, and you know, these situations that we're talking about that get people in trouble or get them in a situation where the whole family has to be part of a guardianship can be avoided if you plan early, plan often. And what we mean by that is revisit your plan, make sure your plan is regularly visited and up to date.
Well,
these are the kinds of things that you want to avoid.
Yeah. So folks, it's just get it done. You know you need to do an estate or elder plan. I hate to say make it a New Year's resolution because nobody follows those. So maybe I'll tell you, don't make it a New Year's resolution. Just like Nike says, do it. Just get it done. It's not that hard. Give us a call. We'll get you our life plan organizers. We'll get you started and on the path to a little bit of relief. We find that people that do their estate planning, they get it put in place, and when the process is completed and the documents are ready to go, there is a huge sense of relief that you know you're going to be prepared financially and medically from a decision and control standpoint when that event happens to you. Won't happen to all of us, but it happens to the majority of us. Folks, I want to wish everyone out there the happiest of holiday seasons. We will be back next week as well, right before the new year, 2019. Absolutely unbelievable. Hey, folks, we have a significant football game this afternoon. I better hear the 12s roaring, and we're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, probably the hottest team in football. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Partner in Law with Rick Gregorek. Event info, newsletters, and Your Partner in Law podcasts can all be found at yourpartnerinlaw.com. To schedule an appointment with Rick Gregorek, call 425-284-3450. That's 425-284-3450. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free Partner in Law event, visit yourpartnerinlaw.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 8 to Your Partner in Law with your host, Rick Gregorek. Simulcast on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and AM 770 KTTH.